session number 11286, Reel 2.
Mr. Robinson, Reel 2.
And we left at 6 o'clock the following morning. We caught up with them halfway across the Atlantic, and in the meantime they had scuttled their ship, and there was 3 boatloads of survivors waving the white flag and waving to us. But a very unfortunate incident happened. Apparently our gunnery officer on the Newcastle had lost his family in the Blitz on London, and he saw them wave. We all saw them waving from the boats, but he went up to one of the .5 machine guns and he opened fire with the .5 machine gun, and he killed 7 of the Germans in one of the boats. We buried them at sea. I remember one of them was in the sick bay. Now, a lot of these Germans had never been to Germany. They'd never been to the fatherland. They were from Osorno in Chile. German settlement there. And this boy's name is Alfred. And he had a .5 bullet in his stomach. Well, I went along the sick bay to take a tot of rum to one of my messmates. And I heard a voice saying, Wasser, 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 please, bitte, Wasser, bitte. And I got a glass of water, and I was just about to give him a glass of water, and it was knocked out of my hand by the sick berth attendant. He said, you cannot give him that. He said he got a big hole in his stomach. Well, that boy died about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so we buried the 7th of the sea. And we all cleared lower deck, and they had the German flag over them as we tipped them into the water. And the gunnery officer had a resounding telling off by the captain for taking the law into his own hands.
Was he punished?
I don't know whether he was punished or not, but he had a resounding taking off about it. I know that from the captain. Incidentally, the captain came from Pembroke, Captain William Powlett, who later became Admiral Sir William Powlett. And anyway, we took the survivors aboard us then on the Newcastle, and we took them to Freetown. And we landed them in Freetown. There was a prisoner of war camp in Freetown up the top of the hill. I went ashore that day as the Germans marched up. And don't forget, these are merchant navy seamen. And they marched up to the hill and they were singing the Horst Wessel. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people there who didn't like the Germans very much at that particular time, and they were throwing things at them as they marched along. But I've never seen such a disciplined crowd in all my life as them merchant navy men. They didn't flinch. They didn't even look left or right to see who was hitting them or throwing things at them. They just marched up the way they went.
Were these white people that were throwing things at them?
Yes, sailors. Sailors, unfortunately. Of course, everybody's not the same, but there you are.
Do you remember which month in 1941 this was?
June.
So it was just after the Bismarck pursuit?
Round about that time, yes. The Bismarck pursuit was May, wasn't it?
Yes,
just after that, yes.
So this was a German merchant ship?
Yes, German merchant ship, yes.
Do you remember anything else about that incident?
Not about that incident, no. That was that. Well, they asked permission to work on the ship, to work in the mornings. They didn't want to be stuck in the recreation space flat where we had them. So they were scrubbing decks in the morning with us, you know, making themselves useful. We got to know each other quite well. And it all ended up then. Don't forget when the war is over, when the Krieg is kaput, don't forget to come to see us in Osorno in Chile and so-and-so in Chile. You know, they want us to go to see them. That's what it ended up quite amicably.
So there were no hard feelings?
No hard feelings. I mean, these were seagoing civilians, weren't they? You know, they wasn't servicemen, they were seagoing civilians.
But didn't they make comments about the machine gunning?
No, nothing was said. Nothing was said about it.
Was it explained to them why it had happened?
I couldn't tell you. I couldn't. They were all rather vague, but I knew what happened. We knew what happened, of course. We knew what happened. But there was nothing mentioned about it, really. No. So that was the end of that episode. We came home, we went to Boston then for 11 weeks in the States for a refit, and we came home for Christmas 41. We went out the Mediterranean then, we were on med convoys, and we got torpedoed at 4 o'clock in the morning of the 6th of June 1942.
Can you describe in detail what happened?
What the torpedo doing?
Yes.
Yes, we were taking a convoy from Alexandria. Taking a convoy from Alexandria to Malta. We left Malta. I beg your pardon, we left Alexandria at 06:00 in the morning. On the 5th of June. And we got torpedoed at 04:00 in the morning on the 6th of June. We were taking the convoy. 35 ships in the convoy and 17 ships went down. Sadly, we didn't get through to Malta. We caught a tin fish then in Portside Forehead in the paint shop in the cable flat, caption engine flat. We caught a torpedo up. And my access stations on her then was down in A shell room, right in the bottom in the bowels of the ship. So I said to the petty officer, we knew something had happened, so I said to the petty officer in charge, can I go and get my life belt? He said, you should have your life belt on. Hurry up and get it. So I had to go up two ladders, about 40 foot, go forward to where the torpedo had hit, and go forward where the torpedo had hit, and my locker was hanging in the water, three-tier locker. We didn't know at the time that we picked up survivors of the repulse on Prince of Wales when we were in Alexandria. We didn't know. I didn't know it. But my locker was hanging in the water. So I got a lashing off a hammock and I put it around the three-tier locker, put it over a hammock hook down onto one of the big wheels, the big cog wheels. And I was hanging onto it, but I thought, I can't get that locker out of the water. And a voice behind me said, hang on, Stan, I'll give you a hand. Well, nobody ever called me Stan on the Newcastle. It was either Taffy or Robbie. So I said, thank you. So he said, I'll take the weight of the locker. He said, you take the slack in. We did that and eventually landed the locker back on the floor, on the deck. So I said, nobody calls me Stan on this ship. I said, I don't know you. You know, you're not ship's company, are you? No, he said. But I went to school with you in Blangwinby. So I said, you got me stumped. I got a good memory for faces and names. I can't place you. He said, I'm Johnny Morgan. He said, I was a mate in school in Blangwinby years ago. I said, well, you're not ship's company. Where have you come from, John? He said, I was on the Repulse when she got sunk. He said, we came aboard in Alexandria. And that was that exciting episode over. But
when the torpedo hit, did you realise what had happened?
Yeah, we knew what had happened. We could smell the cordite. We could smell the cordite. Cordite, of course, it gets seeps in everywhere. The smell of cordite seeps in everywhere. And eventually, it turned out we had a hole 18 foot by 36 port side forward. And the starboard side was dropping off as well. So we went back to Alex then, stern first. We did about three knots and got back to Alex stern first. And they put mats up to cover the holes. Big mats. That's the damage control parties. Then we went from Alex then back through the Suez Canal and we went to Bombay. But being as we had mats, because we were going properly then, the sharp end was going first. And we went to Bombay and we didn't dry dock for Bombay for quite a while. In Bombay.
Undergoing
repairs. August 42, he's in dry dock in Bombay. We stopped there for a while, and the ship was repaired. Then we went round the Cape, because the Germans controlled the Med then, so we couldn't go back through the Med. So we went round the Cape, then round Cape Town, and across to New York. We stopped in New York for 7 weeks. Brooklyn Navy Yard.
Did you enjoy that?
Great. Great.
What kind of a reception did you get from the Americans?
Fine. Of course, they were in the war then, see? But when I was in Boston, they came into the war just before we left. They came into the war just before we left Boston to go come back home. But they'd been in the war 12 months when we went across to New York. Oh, we used to get on splendid there.
Were you in any other actions with the Newcastle?
No, that was a lot. When we got torpedoed, that was a lot. I left the Newcastle then in on the 21st of December, 43. I left in Trincomalee, Ceylon, and that was it. I'd been aboard there 3 years and 10 weeks.
You also said that you were aboard a ship called the Nigella. Was that a trawler?
No, a corvette. On the Bombay to Aden run. We was running from Bombay to Aden, 8 days each way. Very small, very homely little ships.
Was there any trouble there?
No. No, we were on the Bombay to Aden run, and we had no incidents at all, except when we tied up one day in Aden, and we had to let go again almost immediately and go round the coast of Arabia. The western side of Arabia, there was an American Liberty ship stuck fast on a coral reef. So we had to go round there. I wrote this story, incidentally, to the Daily Express, and Hammond Innes was sponsoring that, and he sent me an autographed book. Hammond Innes did about this story. They wanted a war story. So we went down the coast, and as it happened, I'd just been made petty officer then. And I was well up in Morse and Semaphore, see? So we went around the coast, and I was detailed off now to get into one of these 40-foot dinghies with four men pulling in the oars, and take a Coston gun line, fire the Coston gun line across the Yankee ship. Then they passed out the bigger lines. Until she was ready for towing. She was stuck fast on the coral reef. So I fired the Coston gun line, but it was blowing so hard that the line blew right over the ship and they didn't get it. As you know, them waters are shark infested. And I sent a signal to our ship by torch in Morse. Crew worn out and drifting out to sea, SOS. And back on the answer, well done, coxswain, the Americans are sending a lifeboat for you. Well, of course, don't forget, we were in a 14-foot dinghy, only five of us, and the Yanks sent a big 40-foot steel lifeboat. And they were shouting out, take it easy now, Limey, don't get in a flat spin, take it easy. I said, we're not in a flat spin, you keep away from us, otherwise you'll push us under. Because there was a bit of a ground swell on. But unfortunately, they came so close that they pushed us under. And there was five of us in the water. So they pulled us inboard, took us aboard their ship, and we stayed aboard there 5 days. And instead of having corned beef and hard biscuits, we were having a menu card, bacon, eggs and chips, or what have you. We stopped aboard there and chucked a lot of ballast off. Then a couple of tugs came round from Aden then, German-made tugs, and towed her off. So we stayed aboard there roughly, I think it was 4 or 5 days we stayed aboard there. And we had to wait for these tugs to come. You know, we couldn't tow, our ship couldn't tow her off. But that was the only incident then, at that time. I left the Nigella. Yeah, just before D-Day, about June the 1st, 1944.
Which month was it that you were dealing with the Liberty ship?
About February, March, 1944.
And you didn't come across any enemy submarines on those runs?
No, not one.
But that's what you were there for?
That's what we were there for, anti-submarine patrol, see?
Were you escorting convoys?
Not on that.
I noticed that you served later on an Indian Navy ship called the Chinchi.
Chichi, yeah. Oh, I think that was a ship I came back from Burma on. I think that's a ship
You put May 1945.
May 45.
Chinche. C-H-I-N-C-H-E. Do you remember sailing on that Indian Navy ship?
No, we took... I think that's the ship I took passage on from Rangoon. From Rangoon to Colombo. I think that's the Indian ship. Yes, I think that's the ship we took passage on.
Because the Indian Navy in 1947, I think it was,
yes,
about then, there was a notorious Indian naval mutiny in,
yes,
Bombay then.
Yes, in Bombay. There was trouble in Bombay.
Did the Indian Navy, when you were on this ship in 45, seem discontented in any way?
No, we got on splendid with them. We got on splendid with them. They didn't bother us at all. Everything was all right.
One thing that we've missed out, going back to the summer of 1940, is when the French surrendered. Did you have anything to do with the French Navy?
Well, I can tell you what happened. When I came back from survivor's leave off the Hardy, I went into the depot guard. And I was turned in about 3 a.m, and we had a sudden shout to get out, get hold of our rifles, 10 rounds of ammunition each, and fall in outside sharpish, which we did. It had turned out, happened was that the Paris was there, the German old German battleship, French battleship. The Paris had trained her guns on Plymouth, was ready to open fire because we had taken control of all their ships, all the French warships, that we had taken control of them. So the Paris had trained her guns on Plymouth. At that particular time, there was a very important ship in Plymouth, the Surcouf, the only submarine to carry a gun turret. I believe she had an 8-inch gun. I think she had a single 8-inch gun. And what the Surcouf was doing, she was going out at night and sinking our shipping and coming in the morning and tied up alongside in Devonport Dockyard. That's what the Surcouf was doing. Well, we went aboard these ships, we manned these ships, and the French opened fire. And
fire on whom?
Open fire on the sailors, we fellas. The French opened fire on us.
Where were you?
Well, with the guard. We went aboard these ships. So many detailed off. Some on there, some... I went aboard a ship called the Le Triomphant, a destroyer. We took over the Le Triomphant. The commander of the Surcouf was killed. Several sailors were killed, and we lost 3 in the guard. 3 of the guard was killed. Quite a bit of a fracas at the time.
What were people firing with?
Rifles, revolvers, anything. We had 303 Lee Enfield rifles, we had. The morgue in barracks was full up. There was funerals every day for a week.
Did you open fire on anybody?
Well, I fired a few rounds off, I suppose.
Who were you firing at?
Well, the people who were firing at us, these French sailors on the upper deck. And they'd had orders to repel us.
So well, they were firing with intent?
Oh, they? Yes, they packed in, though. They packed their hand in. They packed their hand in, and we took over the Le Triomphant. I was aboard the Le Triomphant then for about 6 weeks. Care and maintenance party.
How long did the shooting last for?
About half an hour. Half an hour. I think they were annoyed because round about that period, of course, we had taken over all their ships, you see.
Had the attack on the French fleet at Mers El Kebir taken place by that time?
I don't know. I know that what had happened was that we had captured their ships, and that was it.
How did you?
Feelings were running high.
How did you know that the Surcouf was sinking British shipping?
Well, this is what we all knew in Plymouth at the time. So it all came out later on what she was doing, and it became more or less official. Oh, yes.
They were sinking British...
Oh, yes, they were going out at night and sinking our shipping and coming in and tying up in Denbo Dockyard in the morning. Gullible. Blatant. And she had an 8-inch gun. She was huge. Bigger than any of our subs.